Welcome back to the lesson today. I'm talking on the subject, bring the book. Bring the book, this book that I have before me, this book in which I order my life, this book that brings me closer to God, this book that tells me of God's love, of His forgiveness, of His dealings with me on a daily basis. I've told you some of the background of the people of Israel as they stood in the streets of Jerusalem, as recorded in Ezra, the 8th chapter, in verse 1, against the background of their dispersion and their deliverance. They stood in the streets and cried to Ezra to bring the book. They had gained a greater respect for the book of God. In Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, the Bible tells us that they had forsaken God and lightly esteemed the rock of their salvation. They lightly esteemed Him, not only Him, but His book, His word. But now, standing in the street, that book of God, that word of God was the only cry on their lips. They were standing within the walls of the city of God, which had been rebuilt. And oh, I can imagine as they stood there, it was as though they were in the embrace of God, as a wandering child that had just returned home. They had good reasons to celebrate, and they did it in the best way possible. They didn't ask for a comedian or for a rhythm band, even though they had many musicians that played well. They wanted to hear words from God. Being home again, they wanted to hear the words of their father. Therefore, they requested that Ezra bring the book. God had written this book with His own finger on tablets of stone and presented them to Moses. This writing did not include statements of restrictions only, but also, and more so, it was a clear-cut covenant to which God obligated Himself. It was His means of giving them a way of life, a code of ethics, a code of behavior. It was the regulations of human behavior and relationships. But more than this, it was the means of their justification. They had come to realize that this book embodied their home life, their dwelling place, their peace, their freedom, their relationship to God, their strength against the enemy. All of this depended upon their attitude towards the book. They recognized the love of God towards them. This book told them that they could lay their hands on a scapegoat, confess their sins, and they would be carried out away from them. This book provided a priest who would take the blood of a lamb and sprinkle it upon the altars of the tabernacle as he prayed for the people. It provided a connection between God and the people He loved. One could think of no better reason for the people to request Ezra to bring the book. Ezra brought the book, mounted the pulpit, and as he stood there, surrounded by other noble leaders and prophets, he began to speak. Oh, what a privilege it was when Ezra opened the book in the sight of the people, and as one man the people stood, Ezra began by praising the Lord. And all the people said, "Amen, amen." They lifted up their hands, bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They became so moved with passion until the scribes and the priests and the Levites attempted to restrain them and told them, "This is a holy day unto the Lord. Don't be weeping and crying. Go your way. Eat fat and drink the sweet and send portions unto them that had nothing. This is a day of celebration." Their desire to learn had paid off in joy and gladness. What a feast. Yet in this dispensation, we have a greater reason to rejoice when we are reminded by the writer of Hebrews that God, having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. The law given by Moses to the Israelites was a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. They may not have understood the full meaning of the scapegoat or the lamb that served as their substitute. The truths were concealed in the Old Testament, but in these latter days, in the New Testament, they have been revealed. The people of those days had good reason to rejoice, but Christians today have far more reasons because of the new and the living way provided by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was the central figure of all biblical writings and events throughout the history of the world. In these times, when we say bring the book, we are asking for more than those of the former generations. We love this printed volume of truth that was read to them. We enjoy watching the fulfillment of their prophecies. With every new development in the world affairs, we search the scripture to see if there is a pre-recorded record. Before John the Baptist was seen or heard on the banks of Jordan, it was recorded in the prophecy of Malachi. And when the disciples witnessed the ride of Jesus into Jerusalem amidst the shouts and acclamations of the people, Zechariah recorded this in the 9th chapter 487 years earlier. The more of this book one receives, the more of God he will have. This is reason enough for taking the entire family to church and saying to the preacher, "Bring the book." When the minister stands before the congregation, never be satisfied with an essay of easy-sounding syllables that speak only of a social order. Insist that the man of God bring the book. Then we be heard the invitation from our Lord, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believed in God, believe also in me." You will also hear him say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." This, my friend, is to every creature in every nation under the sun. Then, like the people who listened to Ezra in the days of old, you too will bow your head to God with tears of gratitude and worship, who has brought the joy of his salvation to your life. Let all men everywhere cry out today, "Bring the book." Well, I'm going to bring to a conclusion this lesson on Bring the Book. David said in Psalms 19, "This book is perfect, converting the soul. His commandments is pure, enlightening the eye. More to be desired than gold, sweeter than honey. And by them his servants are warned, and in keeping them there is great reward.